Well, today we are excited. We are celebrating an incredible amount of exciting things. Two of them. First, we are celebrating the financial generosity of this faith community, because your commitments to our capital campaign have been so great. And we have more details coming about what that's going to mean, but we are making excellent progress, and so today we are celebrating. And now, if you are visiting with us today, I just want you to know that St. Matthew's is a community that worships together and cooks together. We serve at least two meals here a week to anybody who shows up, and the promise of good food, a listening ear, and a welcoming community is how we act out the radical hospitality of Jesus. And in the process of redoing our kitchen, our lift, and maybe also our parish hall, we are going to be even more capable of expanding this hospitality and sharing even more of ourselves with others. And secondly, we are celebrating all of the social justice work that this community does. We are celebrating how members of this community join the work of the Holy Spirit at Youth Link, at Project Home, at the Northside Achievement Zone, in the March for Our Lives, and so much more. And of course, because it's in our DNA, we are serving a delicious African feast in honor of all of this good work right after this service today. And the texts that are chosen for us are all powerful testaments to how God is present among us when we live out of acts of justice and hospitality and love in community. In the reading from the book of Acts this morning, we hear a dramatic and incredible conversion story of an Ethiopian eunuch. This man is other in every possible way to Philip. He is not of the same race or culture or class, and as a eunuch, he is neither male nor female, someone we may refer to today as gender non-binary, or if he was born this way, perhaps intersex. But this sudden and intense story, we are told that the Holy Spirit chooses whoever the Holy Spirit wants, and no preconceived barriers of human making matter. While his status as an official may offer him privilege, his status as a eunuch must also have caused him great disconnection. Perhaps this even barred him from visiting the temple in Jerusalem from where he has come. No wonder he is reading the story of Isaiah's sorrow. And almost ironically, he asks Philip, "What is to stop me from being baptized?" But the answer is nothing. And the time is now. No barriers, no gymnastics, just instant welcome as initiated by the Spirit. And then we have the second two passages, which come from the Johannine tradition. Philip's story has drama, but the second two readings caught my imagination, specifically because they are not stories about miracles. These are teachings about the presence of God in us. And even though there is no appearing and disappearing, or running alongside chariots, what is being claimed by these texts is also pretty amazing. The Gospel of John, from which we read the parable of the vine and the vine grower, and the first letter of John, from which we heard a whole lot about love abiding, comes out of the same community of early Christians who followed the tradition passed down to them by John, the son of Zebedee. 1 John was composed as an address, was composed to address an early split in the community. In describing how some were failing to follow Jesus, This letter left a beautiful discourse on what it really meant to follow Jesus and who God is in relationship to us. In this letter, we hear, "No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also." The author of this letter wants us to understand that in our communal life, God is made manifest. That even if we don't see God running around working miracles, flattening mountains, or protecting us at all times, that God is alive in us. And that the love that we show each other is from God, our link to God, and even God himself. Richard Rohr calls this spark of God within us the true self. He says, "You and every other created being begin with your own divine DNA, an inner destiny, as it were, an absolute core that knows the truth about you, a true believer tucked away in the cellar of your being, the image of God that begs to be allowed, to be fulfilled, and to show itself." And he says that sin isn't an action against God, but rather the symptoms of the illusion that we are separated from God. Anything that tells us that we aren't of God, not based in love, that is illusion. It is the false self. It isn't real. And so when Jesus tells us that he is the vine and that we are the branches, a key part of this parable is that the branches originate in the vine. We aren't birds making a house in the vine. We are growing out of the vine, and it is already within us. And then there's this business about cutting off the branches that don't bear fruit and throwing them into the fire. And I wonder what we are to make of two passages right next to each other that say God is love and God is going to chop you off and burn you if you can't get it together. Clearly, there seem to be some contradicting premises in this piece. But again, I come back to Richard Rohr and the true self. And I wonder if at some point in your life you have known what it was like when your false self was in charge. I wonder if you at some point in your life, or even now, have heard the voice of the inner critic that tells you that who you really are is unacceptable, unlovable, even by God. Perhaps that voice tells you that if God was going around chopping people off the vine, then you would be the first to go. And now I want you to imagine that vine grower with his pruning shears. And I want you to imagine him taking that false self of yours and cutting you free from it. I want you to imagine God clipping away the voice that says that you are not of God, that you are not in possession of the divine spark, or that you aren't worthy of living through the vine. That isn't real. That vine grew us, and we all belong in it. And the vine grower is tending us, cutting away the pieces of ourselves that are not expressive of our true self. Perhaps that vine grower is not going around destroying whole people who can't produce the miracles of faith, but rather going around and clipping away the pieces of our severed selves that cannot believe that we are loved, who cannot live out of our true selves in community. And that vine grower is setting us free from what makes us believe that we are broken. It is hard to control the inner critic, hard to silence the voice that says that we are never enough. And so perhaps this is a story of God helping us with that task. Amen.